Good morning and welcome. I'm Barbara Fode, a member of this congregation, and whatever brings you here today, whether it's custom, whether it's a crisis time for you, or whether you're visiting and just curious, may you find peace here, peace with God, and peace with yourself. If you are a visitor, we have a visitor's packet in the back, and I hope someone will grab that for you or feel free to ask during our greeting time. And if you will all look right now, you should see a black folder at the end, one of the ends of your pew. And if you would begin opening that, if you are a visitor, we would love to know who you are. And you can fill out some contact information on the yellow slip. We would really appreciate that. But that's not just for visitors. If you are a regular attender, there should be a pink or a lavender or a purple one in there. And we'd like you also just at least put your name on there and let us know you're here. Because if you're not here for a few Sundays, we might want to just check up and make sure everything is okay for you. And also on these slips, as well as letting us know that you're here, is a chance for you to write a prayer request. And those will be read aloud and shared during our prayer time. And if you'd like that, give this slip to the ushers at prayer time. And if you don't have a prayer request, then just drop the slip right in the offering plate later in the service when that comes in. We have an abbreviated form of worship here, and if you are a high-tech person and like QR codes, at the entrances to worship, you'll see the QR codes that you can use with your smartphone and get the full order of worship if you'd like that. And the web address, I think, is also there in the bulletin. We have restrooms and childcare out here, and out either door and behind is our gathering room, so stop by there after the service and have fellowship with others. And I'd remind you of our safe sanctuary policy that children should always be accompanied by an adult. We are very busy doing God's work, or trying to do God's work at this church, and there's lots of opportunities for Christian discipleship. As the slide says, we're not just coming to church, we are being the church. And you'll see lots of those in your bulletin. I want to highlight just a couple. A very historic tradition is the Dr. Martin Luther King dinner up at the university, a chance to celebrate diversity, hear a great speaker, and I think particularly this year make a witness that we care about issues of justice and what Dr. King stood for. So there are 4 tickets left. So if you want one, please check in the office with Mary. And those of you who would like to come here and carpool, a group is going to meet at 4. You should see Dean Moyer. And Dean, will you hold up your hand there? That Dean right there in the gray sweater. And we also need somebody to go even a little bit earlier than that and grab some tables. They're not assigning tables now. And if we'd like to sit together, we need someone to do that. So if you have a chance to volunteer, okay, thank you. See Dean or see Pastor Alicia. I know that we are very committed to outreach in this neighborhood, and one of the ways that we raise money is through the sale of pecans and cashews and chocolate-covered almonds and all kinds of good stuff. And special, ding, 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 $2 off on everything today back in the gathering room. We would like to raise some more money for outreach. So as I said once, give some money and you get a free bag of pecans or cashews or whatever. Again, lots of stuff in there. Let me just highlight 2 upcoming things, not today. There's going to be a spiritual retreat in a few weeks that Ann Owens is hosting for women, and I'm very excited. There's info in that. And then also the Interfaith Harmony Celebration that we are hosting here for Interfaith Works and Women Transcending Boundaries. And I don't know about you, but it seems like this is a time when we really need to celebrate the religious diversity that is in our land, and particularly here in Syracuse. So there will be folks from many different religious groups sharing their cultures, singing, music, drama, and that should be an interesting event. So check that out, the religious Interfaith Harmony Celebration. And with that, let us continue our worship.
Good morning. Glad to see all of you. I'm honored to say I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I'm the pastor here at University United Methodist Church. And I can't wait until about 10 minutes from now, because these pews are going to be full. I love it. Everyone comes in a few minutes. All right, so what do we have? I have a little cold today, so if I'm a little off, just know that's why. Millions of people suffer from some sort of anxiety or depression disorder. If you do not, chances are you are close to someone who does. Winter can be a time of SAD, seasonal affective disorder, when the lack of sunlight affects our moods and ability to cope effectively. But spiritual affective disorder can also be a factor as we lead lives that are too crowded, busy, overcommitted, sometimes disturbing and uncertain. At the turn of this new year, we will explore everyday life activities that can become spiritual practices, deepening our experience of the meaningful life and make us more light-hearted. The prophet Micah offered up a vision for life lived from a different perspective. Rather than seeing doing good as obligatory sacrifice, he said that when we live our lives with a love for kindness for all God's people, we are fulfilling God's desire to spread justice and love throughout the land. This week, what if we lived each day on the outlook for ways to make someone's day through a kind and unexpected gesture? It might just make our day as well. And so this morning, I'm going to kind of surprise someone. I would like to invite Jackie Sadowski to come sit with me for a moment. You don't have to tell a joke. Come on. Oh, you got to come over here. Come on up and make yourself at home. Sorry. Sit. So I thought of you this week, Jackie, because last year at this time, I was brand new to the ministry. And I don't know if anyone out here knows this, but the reason we're called Methodists is because we have a method or a system for everything. And this time of year, statistics are due. We have to log in all of our statistics for the year as to what we've done and how many baptisms and weddings and all these kinds of things. And so last year, being my first year, I went to Jackie and I said, Jackie, can you help me? Because I knew she knew how to do everything. At James Street, the former James Street, she used to be my right-hand person where she would help me with anything I asked. She would help set up the sanctuary. She would help me fill out statistical reports. If I had a question about anything, she was always there to answer my question and was such a great part. So I called you up here today to say thank you. And I want to give you something. I'm going to give you a rose. And I'd like to give you not only one rose, I'm going to give you 6 roses. So one for you. And then the other 5 are for you to give away as acts of kindness, okay? There might be someone you run into along the way who might need a little cheering up, and so you can give them a rose, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There we go. Thank you, Jackie, for all your kindness that you have shown me.
You're very welcome.
Yes, that's it.
Please remain seated as we sing together, Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines.
Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let all my doubts nor my darkness speak to me. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let my heart always welcome your love. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let not my doubts nor my darkness speak to me. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let my heart always welcome your love.
For our call to worship this morning, we are going to read an excerpt from Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham City jail. Even though it was written 54 years ago, it still applies today. Please read along with me, speaking aloud the bolded words, and please rise or sit as you are comfortable. At first, I was rather disappointed that fellow clergymen would see my nonviolent efforts as those of the extremist. But as I continue to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being considered an extremist. Was not Jesus an extremist in love? Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Was not Paul an extremist for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Was not Martin Luther an extremist? Was not John Bunyan an extremist? Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremist we will be. Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love? Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? Please join together with me as we sing Cuando el Pobre, When the Poor One. When the poor ones who have nothing share with strangers, when the thirsty water give unto us all, when the crippled in their weakness strength unfeigned us, then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us. When at last all those who suffer find their comfort, when they hope, though even hope seems hopelessness, when we love, though hate at times seems all around us, then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us. When our joy fills up our cup to overflowing, when our lips can speak no words other than true, when we know that love for simple things is, then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us. When our homes are filled with goodness in abundance, when we learn how to make peace instead of war, when each stranger that we meet is called a neighbor,
then we know that God still goes that road with us. Then we know that God still goes that road with us.
We have a tradition of greeting one another by shaking hands and saying good morning and peace be with you here at University United Methodist Church. So I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors this morning, saying, peace be with you.
Will the children please come forward and join me?
What?
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read a story over here, so if you can't see this, you might want to turn your body so that you can see it, because I'm going to read this story. And it's called Ordinary Mary's Extraordinary Deed. Has anyone ever heard this book before? Okay, well, good. It's new to all of you. Good. All right. Ordinary Mary was so very ordinary that you'd never guess she could change the world. This ordinary kid, she did. She changed the world. One ordinary day, skipping on her way from her ordinary school to her ordinary house, she passed an ordinary vacant lot filled with ordinary bushes growing ordinary berries. Ordinary blue and juicy, luscious, lovely berries. Well, Ordinary Mary picked the ordinary berries and brought them in a big brown bowl to Mrs. Bishop's porch. What? Left berries in a big brown bowl on Mrs. Bishop's porch? That sneaky kid, she did. This made Mrs. Bishop very, very happy. So she baked a big batch of blueberry muffins and thought of five people who might have brought those beautiful blueberries, then secretly gave each a plate. How great! Five people got a plate. One of those five was her paper boy, Billy Parker, and when Billy saw his name on a note in the driveway on a plate, he quickly parked his bike and ate every crumb. Oh, yum, 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 he ate every crumb. This made him so glad that the next five people got their paper, their newspaper, on the porch and not in the bushes where he often threw them. In fact, they were handed right to them. One of those five people was Mr. Morey, who was so amazed that he smiled for 10 hours on the airplane, then said to five different people who had very heavy bags, "Here, let me help you." He still smiled, and they did too. One of those five people was Mario, whose cranky little boy James stopped crying when Mr. Morey played peekaboo with him until their ride came. When he waved goodbye, Mario exclaimed, "How strange that a stranger would be so kind." And the next day, when he was out shopping, once, twice, five times, he did something nice for the five different people. Five times without stopping. One of those five was Joseph. old and bent and gray, in front of her in line on the produce stand. When he said, "I guess I counted wrong. I don't really need these oranges," little James reached out to him with an orange from their basket. And Mario put a coin in Joseph's hand and said, "Here, take this. The oranges are on us." As Joseph shuffled to the bus, his heart was full and his eyes were wet, and his hands did helpful things for the next 5 people he met. One of those 5 was Sahar, a college girl who was off to see the world and stopped at Joseph's shop. When her bag broke and all her things fell all over the floor, she said, "Oh, what will I do?" Joseph said, "This is for you," and he gave her a new bag woven with his own hands in red and purple and green. "Oh, thank you," she said. "It's the loveliest bag I've ever seen." When Sahar left, she felt sunny as noon, and she just had to shine on 5 people soon. One of those 5 was Sophia, whom she met on a boat, looking like the world might end, looking like someone without a friend. "What beautiful blue eyes you have," Sahar said, "and they're just the color of the flowers in your lovely dress." "Yes?" said Sophia. "Oh, yes," said Sahar. The beautiful blue eyes shed a happy tear, and when the boat trip was through, Sophia called 5 people to make them happy too. One of those 5 was Tom, her son, the doctor, who was having a very hard day. "Hi," she said. "I love you, Tom." "Well, how great to hear your voice," he sighed. "I always need my mom." Dr. Tom was so cheered up that on his next break, he bought a big bunch of bright balloons for 5 young patients, and he handed them out right then and there. One of those 5 was Peter, a little boy who went home from the hospital that very day. Gratitude for the big bunch of bright balloons filled him and thrilled him and spilled out of him and onto the next five people who came his way. One of those 5 was Eric, a teenage boy whose sacks and such were way too much. When one dropped on the sidewalk, Peter stopped his play and rushed right over saying, "Super wheels to the rescue!" Well, Eric no longer stressed. He was very impressed and made a mental note that very afternoon to help 5 people, and did it soon. Of those 5 was Di, his 10-year-old sister who didn't have many friends and was painfully shy. When Eric said, "Hey sis, want to come to the park and learn how to ride my skateboard?" she looked at him wide-eyed. "Serious?" she cried. "Sure," he said. And because of her brother, Di decided maybe she could be a friend to 5 others. One of those 5 was Louise, a homeless woman who lived under the trees. She could hardly believe her eyes when she heard Di say, "May my brother and I buy you a hot dog and a drink at the stand over there?" Could it be true? Someone actually cared? Cared enough to give her food and a smiley-faced ring that was practically new? Louise was so pleased that she decided that even though she had nothing, she would find 5 others and give them something. One of those 5 was Amara, who lost her wallet in the park. Louise found it, full of 5s and 10s and 20s. Oh, what she could do with all that money? But she found Amara's name and called her home, and over she came. Amara was so impressed that Louise was honest when money was something she clearly needed, that she offered her a job at her store and vowed to do something generous for 5 more people. One of those 5 was Kate, a woman on vacation who wanted to see a show she'd heard was a sensation. "Oh no," she said, "it's sold out, but I'm going home tomorrow," and her face filled with sorrow. Amara held out her ticket. "I live here," she said. "I can go anytime. Take mine." Kate loved the show and was so touched that she thought buying 5 presents for 5 people back home would really be fun. And one of those five presents was a little heart necklace for Mary, her niece. And you should have seen her eyes light up in surprise. Mary? What? Ordinary Mary? Yes, Ordinary Mary's extraordinary deed had come full circle, and on its way, it had changed the lives of every person living. You see, when Mrs. Bishop made muffins from Mary's blueberries, not only did the paper boy, Billy Parker, but the other four people, too, made five people smile, and those five did, too, and on and on. And this is what it looks like. Do you see these numbers? One person, then five people, then 25, then 125, 625, 3,125, 15,625. And I can't say all those numbers, but I'm going to go down to 30,517,587,125 people. Wow. Well, 6 billion is even more than all the people on the planet. So after everyone had a share and everybody knew that somebody cared, there was even love left over. The world was changed, and thousands and millions and billions agreed. It was all because one ordinary day, Ordinary Mary did a perfectly ordinary, stunningly earth-shaking, totally extraordinary deed. And there's Mary. So do you guys think you could do an act of kindness, an extraordinary deed? Yeah? There's a lot of ideas in this book as to how we can do that. Can you think of any things that you might have done in the past or that you could do that would be an act of kindness? Something, being kind to someone? You have something? What is it? Yeah. You can share. You can, if someone doesn't have something and you have enough, you can share with them, whether it's buying it them something. Or I'm thinking about in school, a lot of times people didn't have pencils, and I would share my pencil. Does that happen to any of you where people don't have pencils and you have to share? Does anyone have the problem where they never have a pencil and they always have to ask for a pencil? So you know what I'm talking about. All right, well, I challenge you to think about this ordinary Mary and her extraordinary deed, and how it grows and grows, and how each of you can be an ordinary Mary and do something extraordinary. All right, will you pray with me? God of extraordinary deeds and extraordinary love, we thank you that we have this awesome, awesome gift to be able to do kindness, to be able to take action and do something nice for another person. We thank you that you have loved us, and that love has blossomed out of us so that we feel blessed that we can share. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for coming up and listening to my story. You can go sit with whoever brought you.
Let us join our hearts as we enter a time of prayer this morning. If you would like your prayer read as a part of this worship, just look for your purple or yellow sheet, and down at the bottom there's a place to put your prayer request. And pass in your prayers and remain seated as we sing together In God's Time. In God's time, in God's time, God makes all things beautiful in God's time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. In your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful. Thy life to you I bring, every song I have to sing, be to you a lovely thing in your time.
So
let us come together as we share prayers on our hearts, our celebrations, and our concerns.
Let us continue our prayer, beginning with a silent prayer this morning. I share this prayer this morning. It's paraphrased from worldinprayer.org / World News This Week in Prayer. Oh God, may we be extremists for love. May we reach within ourselves for the radical kind of love displayed by Jesus and his followers. That same love you've already placed within us. May our hearts overflow with that love for all your children, forgetting not those who most need to see and feel your love. Renew our compassion for refugees. Increase our dedication to bringing peace to war-torn places. Rekindle the value we place on humanity and each individual. Stir our hearts, O God, toward peace and reconciliation. May we be extremists for justice, O God, using our vision to see beyond our own comfort and our own commitments. Shatter our illusions that what we are accustomed to is what ought to be. May we be your hands and feet and voice in this world. Deepen our reliance on your just and righteous will for our lives. Focus our minds on the work for justice to which you call each of us. Give us patience and wisdom as we attempt to tackle complicated and messy conflicts of this world. Reawaken our dedication to justice for those who are marginalized. May we be extremists for the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, remembering that this news is only good when we intentionally shed our extremism for hate and reject our extremism for the preservation of injustice. May we be your messengers of extreme love and extreme justice in this world. May we support one another as we live out your call to action through prayer, peaceful protest, marching, meditation, and aiding all who are distressed and oppressed. May we reflect your light into all the world. Amen. And now may we join in the prayer Jesus shared. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now this morning we have a special treat. Our Hebrew scripture will be sung by the choir as our anthem is named Offertory by John Ness Beck. Amen. The next scripture that we are going to hear this morning is from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12. And we commonly know this as the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So our theme today is Make My Day. This may be the image that comes to mind when you hear this. What if we flipped this idea from this famous Clint Eastwood character to the one of truly making someone's day better? I recently read a story of a man turning 50, and instead of having a big party and asking for a traditional gift, he asked his friends and family to do acts of kindness in his honor for his birthday. Acts of kindness, such as the one ordinary Mary did, and in the movie Pay It Forward, show us how the world changes one person at a time when we take the time to give kindness. This sounds something like one part of our Micah text, doesn't it? But we can't stop there. I wrote about the Charter for Compassion in my last Chimes article. The Charter for Compassion is a charter in which individuals or groups can sign on this charter, and this is what they're signing on to if they do. We believe, this is the vision of the Charter for Compassion, we believe that a compassionate world is a peaceful world. We believe that a compassionate world is possible when every man, woman, and child treats others as they wish to be treated, with dignity, equality, and respect. We believe that all human beings are born with the capacity for compassion, and that it must be cultivated for human beings to survive and thrive. Compassion. And blessed are all those. Our Micah text today, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy. Wait, to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. You know, when Micah wrote this, the religious and political leaders of his time were not leading with justice at their core. And so Micah felt he needed to preach of justice and our merciful God. And our merciful God urges us, each of us, in Micah's day and today, to seek justice, kindness, and compassion, and to never lose focus on God's love, walking humbly with our God. Love, God loves us, each of us, and God loves each of our neighbors. In our call to worship today, we read the letter that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote from the Birmingham jail. And in it, he challenges us. He challenges us to be extremists in love, equality, and justice. And I'll read it. Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love? Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? This is our moment. Are we ready to take this challenge? Are we ready to go beyond just the acts of kindness and start to strive for justice? We have been taught the greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, one thing is for sure. From all that we've heard today and every day, Christianity is not a spectator sport. This moment in time is a moment we need to act with our Micah text as our guide. Do justice, love kindness, and stay focused on God. Last night I came across this video on Facebook, Valerie Kaur, K-A-U-R, spoke these words that have been a whisper in my ear. I encourage all of you to go to YouTube and listen to the full 5 minutes of her talk. It's worth the time. Valerie Kaur spoke of the uncertainty in which we live today, and then she said this. What if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? What if this uncertainty and pain are birthing pains of something new? What if it's up to us to be the extremists of love so that we birth justice, love kindness, and stay laser focused on the love of God, the love of God for each of us, and the love of God given to all of God's children? So we have two parts in our homework this week. Two parts. The first part. Every day, we need to create ways to spread kindness, just like ordinary Mary. We can all do that, right? We can act in kindness every day to someone, right? Right? Okay, great. All right, good. And then our second piece of homework is this. We need to look beyond our own slice of the world and speak out. Call, rally, go to an organizational meeting that is working towards justice, kindness, and working for and with the blessed. This congregation has helped sponsor and settle at least 20 individuals and at least 20 refugee individuals and families over the years. And we don't want to stop there. We don't want to stop at 20. This is something that, an act of kindness we want to continue, an act of mercy we want to continue. Can you imagine having to flee from your home because it's unsafe, and living in a refugee camp for years, and then being so bold, so faithful, that you're willing to come to another continent with another culture so that your family can be safe? Can you imagine? You know, I remember some other refugees named Joseph and very pregnant Mary. Right? They had to leave their home and go to Bethlehem so that they could be registered for the census. And what happened when they arrived? Were they welcomed with open arms? No, they were not. In fact, there was no room. Now, I wonder, because it doesn't really say in the story, was there no room because there was no room for people like them? or was there no room? And one person, the innkeeper, had some compassion. And so they stayed in a barn, in the barn, in the stable, and that's where baby Jesus was born. Can you imagine? And then what happened? After baby Jesus was born, did they go right back home? No, because Joseph had a dream that Jesus would be killed if they went back home. So once again, they were refugees and had to flee to Egypt until it was safe to go back home. And they were lucky because they were able to go back home. Many today are not able to go back home because it will never be safe. Or not in their lifetime will it be safe. So we cannot stand still. We must be moving forward. So our second part of our homework is to reach outside our little slice of our world and speak up. We've formed a group here in which we are organizing so that we can speak up in an organized way. And our next meeting is on February 12th and at 4 o'clock here at the church. But I also have these. And our ushers will have them at the back and in the front. They're yellow slips of paper. And there are numbers on here. They're the numbers of our representatives of Congress. And so I encourage you to make some phone calls and say, my church wants to sponsor and help settle more refugee families so that they have a safe home. And I also heard just this morning that today at 6:30, there'll be a rally at Hancock International Airport if you'd like to join that as well. I don't have all the information, but I do have one email that says a little bit. So if you want to know more about that, please find me or look on the internet. So that's our homework. We're not just going to act in kindness, which is so, so, so important. Acts of kindness are so important for our everyday lives. But then we can't stop there because Micah says, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. So I challenge you. I challenge you on this, this homework. And I say, make my day.
Please remain seated for our choral meditation this morning. We're all going to have a chance to sing Micah's words this morning. And we're going to do that by sections, and our choral leader will lead us.
Enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place their attendance slips, purple or yellow, in the plate as the ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors to know of the church to know that we do not expect a donation today. You are our guest. We are grateful you're here. Yet we do have a very strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donation, and offering.
things God has done.
Please join me this morning in the prayer of dedication. We give thanks to God for our life and the courage we are given to live it. Let our gratitude for life be expressed in our generosity. Let our faith be expressed in good causes. Let our belief in the future find full expression in our daily attitude of mind. Amen. So if you would please remain standing with me, and we will be singing the Black American National Anthem, as it is known, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And Dennis will be playing from the organ above. He's had to make his way up there. Thank you, Dennis.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the roar. Of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has taught us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory. Felt in the days when hope unborn had died, yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our parents died. We have come over a way that the tears have been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the white gleam of our bright star. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, Thou who hast by Thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path. Lest our feet stray from the places, O God, where we met Thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, forget Thee. Shadow beneath Thy
So the question is, not whether we will be extremist, but what kind of extremist will we be? Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love? Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? Go now in peace, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God.